Good evening. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I want to talk a little bit about perspective tonight. So Philippians chapter 3. Starting verse 17. He says, Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great King, we are thankful for the opportunity to get together tonight to break bread and to partake of the loaf and the cup, of course, Lord, and to do so in remembrance of who you are. And Lord, in all of that, it is not only a reminder of who you are, Lord, but it is a reminder of who we are. And Lord, tonight I pray that I can be encouraging to the saints and help us to remember to keep our eyes up. Keep in mind who we are and to remember from where we come. Lord, I'm thankful that you've given us magnificent pictures of victory in the scripture. And I pray, Lord, that tonight I can bring some of those things forth and help to be encouraging to the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I'm going to brag on Gannon for just a second. He's my youngest son. I have four children, for those of you that don't know. And there's something about raising kids. I think by the time you get to the fourth one, you have about 70% of it figured out. Because, you know, the first one, you don't know what you're doing. And by the second one, you've kind of figured out what you did wrong, sort of. Depends on how far apart they are. My first two were 13 months apart. So, yeah. So you kind of figure out sort of what you did wrong in the first one. And then you get to the third one, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is chaos. And the third one, you know, bless her peepick and heart, Lily, she kind of got okay, we have two children running around in diapers, and now we have another one in diapers, and where are they all at? It was just corral, you know, keep them all going in the same direction. And if you could do that, you were lucky. And then by the time, you know, your fourth one comes along, it's like, you're pretty, you know, you got the groove going. You got older kids to kind of help out. And Gannon was the beneficiary of that. But it's all about perspective. And the reason I wanted to bring up Gannon tonight was because I ride motorcycles, in case you didn't know that. I enjoy it. I first learned to ride a bicycle because I wanted to learn to ride a motorcycle. I had a little Honda 50, you know, a little tiny thing, and I learned to ride a bicycle. And then I learned to ride that motorcycle. And I tell you what, I was on a motorcycle from the time I was about 5, 6 years old up until about the time I graduated high school. And then I met Sue, and she didn't ride, and did a little bit of things together in that, but not much. Didn't have a bike, had kids, stayed off of them, and then got back into it. Now, Gannon has taken an interest in it as well, and he took his motorcycle safety course this weekend. And when I was kind of helping Gannon a few months ago, or when he first started looking into this, one of the things that you have to tell people when they're riding a motorcycle is, you're not going to be surprised by this, but where you turn your head is where you're going to go. Now, in a car, it does the same thing. And you've probably ridden with people who, you're the passenger, and they spend more time looking at you while you're panicking. Okay, now that, exaggerate that on a motorcycle. This is the lean, and just the slightest turn of the hands, it'll make you change direction, right? So Gannon took his course. When I took the motorcycle safety course, by the way. I didn't have an endorsement until like 5 years ago. And when I took the course, there's a test at the end. And the test at the end, if you pass it, you don't have to take the driving portion of the test, right? Well, I was basically 1 point from failing, even though I've ridden motorcycles all my life. A lot of it was bad habits from riding on dirt and transitioning to street. But one of the big things I got knocked for, and it was a huge point value, was I didn't turn my head far enough when I was making my turns. And I got docked big time for it. Gannon took the course, didn't get a single thing wrong. Good job, G. Proud of you, buddy. But this just illustrates the importance of where you keep your eyes. Where you look is where you're going to go. See, the thing is that the Lord has worked very hard to keep our minds focused on the things that are important. And I begin with this particular scripture because it helps us to understand that not only is it important that we understand that we keep our eyes going where we need to go, but that we remember where we are now. Let's go back to our verses for just a second. I'll just jump down to verse 20. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." What does citizenship mean, brethren? Doesn't just, you know, I didn't bring mine. Did anybody else bring their church membership card? I can't seem to find mine. What if it got lost in the mail? We don't get one. Because citizenship in heaven isn't up to anybody else but you and God. Citizenship means that we get those rights and privileges of the country or the kingdom from which we herald. We get the privilege of being citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And this is not something that's far off, by the way. It's not something that comes around the bend when we, you know, pass through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear evil and all that good stuff. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. This citizenship extends to us, and we are supposed to extend the beauty of it to the world around us. In the same way, Paul talks, he goes on, and there's a lot that we can talk about here, but let's jump down to chapter 4, verse 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let's stop there for just a moment. Okay. So if we're citizens of heaven, what does that look like? You know, on the way in this morning, I have a headset in my helmet, and I was listening to a Christian radio playlist from Spotify, and there's a song that plays, and I love that the overall point of it, but it's a really hard song for me to listen to. And it's because it reminds me of a very sad day. And it's I don't remember who sings it, but it's "I'll Praise You in This Storm." And the reason that it's so hard is because they played it at the Jacob's boy's funeral. Avery, thank you. Little boy, I mean, he was 11? Nine? Okay, he died on his 10th birthday. And I went to that funeral. It was hard. That's hard. It's a hard song to listen to. Because in the song, he talks about how even though it's raining, and you're going to pray that it stops raining, you say your amen, and guess what? It's still raining. It's obviously supposed to be a picture of not losing faith. So when Paul here, when he talks about rejoicing in the Lord always, He doesn't just... Notice what he doesn't say. I'm going to add a couple of words here real quick in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always when things are going great. Again, I will say, grumble when they're not. You notice what he doesn't say. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, how is it that somebody can say that? I mean, honestly, I'm sure that all of you, in one way, shape, or form, have encountered some rain that you weren't looking for in your life. I'm sure in one way or another, your foundations have been tested. You know, foundations, we talked about them this morning. You know, the beautiful thing about well-built foundations is that even if the house burns down, you can rebuild on that same foundation. Even if it's swept away by the floods of the world and the worries of the world, you can rebuild on that same foundation. Well, when Paul says this, he says this in context of the picture that he's given us of our citizenship being in heaven. Of understanding that through the trials and tribulations of this life, he will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. And it is because our King has the ability to put all things in subjection to himself. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice, he doesn't just mean in the good times. He goes on and talks about being anxious. You know, I don't know about you. I had to pay a whole bunch of taxes this year. I was not prepared for that. I will tell you that. And I will blame that on Gannon because I can't claim him anymore. It's because he was my last kid I can claim. And then there was all kinds of other things, of course. But I had to pay a whole bunch of taxes, and I can tell you there was some anxiety about coming up with that money when we weren't expecting it. You know what I didn't do? To my shame, I didn't pray about it initially. I got mad. Oh, that IRS, sir. You know what? Did getting mad change anything? You know, typing out a well-phrased, scathing email to the IRS? It's probably... I didn't. That's a sure way to get audited, by the way. Let's not do that. But I didn't immediately go, okay, this is great. The Lord's teaching me something through this. And you know, really, it's kind of a silly thing. I mean, it's just money. Don't worry, they'll make more. But it reminds me of how important it is for us to keep in mind that the Lord is with us always, especially when it's raining. And the reason that we would do this thing, the reason that we would pray, the reason that we would bring all of our anxieties, all of our cares to the Lord is not because, I don't want this to sound wrong, it's not because, you know, God wants the gossip. It's not because God doesn't already know. It's because the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, the Lord doesn't ask us to do something like that if there is no benefit for us. And again, it's not like God needs us to tell him for his sake. God needs us to tell him for our sakes. It is so important that we remember from where we come, and that we remember to call on his name, especially in the storms of life. You know, my wife and I have had many conversations over the years about all the good things and the bad things in our lives and the challenges that we face. And And one of the things that's really come out in our lives recently and in the last couple years is that we have to have faith in God, because there are things outside of our control. There are so many things outside of our control. I mean, my oldest daughter got married. She lives in Ohio. Oy. Oy. That is hard. I don't know how you do it, Simpsons. But I can't be there. But you know what I can be thankful for? She's got a great husband. Mike is a great guy. I have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And in other areas, we've kind of put it this way. We have to play the long game. And what I mean by that is that we can't lose sight of what we know to be true. We can't forget the promises that God has made to us. Even when you don't necessarily know how things are going to turn out. So in keeping our eyes focused where they need to be, Paul continues here in verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Where are you looking? You know, I'm supposed I'm just as bad as the next guy, or I don't know. Mr. Toole often talks about you haven't talked about this in a while, so I'm wondering how it's going. He often talks about the report that he gets at the end of the week about how much screen time he's had. Do you not look at it anymore? I don't know. I don't even know if I get one. I get so many emails in a week. I got 30,000 unread emails, so don't email me. But I'm sure I'm just as prone to it as the next guy. But I use my phone for my Bible reading. I should use my paper Bible. There's so much empirical data to show that you learn better from paper. But you know what my problem is? It's just easy to go, "Oh, well, I'll just take a quick second to see what's going on in the world before I jump into my Bible reading." And then, 20 minutes later, I'm doom scrolling. And I tell you what, it's the worst 20 minutes of my day. So I'm asking myself just as much as I'm asking you, where are you looking? What is it that your mind is dwelling on? Because, it's really easy to let your mind dwell on the things that you're never going to change. It's really easy to let your mind dwell on the things of this earth. It's really easy to let your mind dwell on all the nonsense and the lies and the half-truths and the sin that is out there. But the command, I don't know if it's command, but maybe the oath of the Christian citizen of heaven, is to focus on the good things. Brethren, we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We're citizens of a kingdom that will never be destroyed. We have a place waiting for us, if we remain faithful, that is beyond our capacity to understand. So where are you looking? Thank you for your time.